Chapter 14. The headquarters of the NDC was fully manned and operational. Hundreds of NDC members were scurrying about, getting ready to handle their first assault on the Shaw government. Once they had their hostages safely stashed away in the basement of their headquarters, the game would begin. The Prime Minister would face a stinging attack for allowing Kevin Wells to be kidnapped, thus jeopardizing the prosecution of Ray Mohammed. Such incompetence would lead to a no-confidence vote and the end of the Shaw government. The NDC would deny any involvement in the kidnapping and join in the call for the Prime Minister's resignation. While the battle to form a new government was raging in Parliament, the NDC would strike. With the help of a small Cuban mercenary army waiting on standby, the NDC would seize all government buildings, the television and radio stations, and arrest or kill, if need be, the Prime Minister and all other members of the current government. Leaders of the NDC believed that, with anti-American sentiment increasing each day, the people would rally behind the NDC once it was in power. When they had gained control, they would rationalize the use of force to seize power by simply pointing out the urgent necessity to stop American economic aggression in the form of the Caribbean Trade Agreement. They would argue that Trinidad was about to suffer irreparable damage if the agreement went into effect, and by the time a new government could have been formed, it would have been too late. When the dust settled and an election could be held, the NDC would claim itself the savior of Trinidad and would win an overwhelming mandate at the polls. Unfortunately, phase one of the NDC's grand scheme had not gone well. At 8 p.m., Malcolm Mann was in an emergency meeting with his lieutenants. "This kind of incompetence is unacceptable," Mann screamed. "Hundreds of Trinidad patriots have been carefully planning this operation for over a year. Now the plan may have to be scrapped before it even gets off the ground. All because a highly trained assault unit couldn't catch three unarmed teenagers on the beach. Damn them. I want the commander of that unit arrested and thrown in jail. I will not tolerate failure."
"Sir," Ray Mohammed said, "they couldn't have gone far from the beach. It was getting dark, so they must be somewhere close by in the forest. We can still get them."
"How? As we speak, government troops are crawling all over the area. I don't have to tell you that if they find Kevin Wells, it could be the end of our party, and we may all wind up at the end of a rope."
"We've got party members and supporters who live in that area. We could send them home to search for Kevin Wells and the Prime Minister's daughters. Since they live there, the government troops will have to let them in that area. All we have to do is find them before the government does."
"It's an interesting idea, but just as soon as it gets light, they will find them quickly.
We may not have enough time. Even if we do find them, how will we get them out of the area with government troops surrounding us?"
"We won't wait for daylight. We'll start our search now. Our people know the area. The darkness will not hinder them. Once we capture them, we'll drive them to a safe location and bring them out by helicopter."
"All right. Unless someone has a better idea, we'll implement Ray's plan. Assemble all these members you speak of so that we can brief them and send them on their way. Start calling our other soldiers in the area around Blanchichus Bay and give them their instructions. For the sake of Trinidad, we must succeed."
20 minutes later, a dozen men stood in front of Malcolm Mann. He looked them over carefully and addressed them.
"I've called you before me to enlist your help in saving our beloved Trinidad. This will no doubt be the most important mission in your lives. If you are not successful, America will soon control our economy. As you know, we plan to have the Prime Minister's daughters and Kevin Wells as hostages by now. Somehow they escaped our grasp and may be hiding in the forest near Blanchichus Bay. You all know this area well. So, we need you to put on your civilian clothes and go home. We have enough men for 3 4-man search parties. You've been issued night vision equipment, which you'll need to use in your search. You should all have weapons at your homes, which you can use in the operation. One last thing. We'd like the hostages brought back alive. However, if that's not possible, then kill them. If you do nothing else, you must kill Kevin Wells. If the government finds him, all is lost."
The men quickly dispersed, leaving Malcolm and Ray Mohammed alone in the conference room. Ray took a deep breath.
"What if they do fail?"
"I've arranged for you and I to have political asylum in Cuba, so don't worry."
"What about our comrades? What will be their fate?"
"They will surely hang at the hands of Ahmad Shah. He will show no leniency. Since we have attacked his family, no one will blame him."
"Can't we do anything to protect them?"
"No, they are expendable. When we return, we will get others to take their places."
Ray said nothing as Malcolm packed up his briefcase and left the conference room.
Ray thought for a moment, then hustled off to his office. He picked up the phone and dialed his home number.
Hello?
Is that a whale?
Yes?
Is Jane in?
Yes.
Get her for me immediately. It's urgent.
Cetewayo ran into Jane's bedroom and told her to pick up the phone. Then she went back to the kitchen and started to put the kitchen phone on the receiver. She stopped and slowly lifted the phone to her ear so she could hear the conversation.
Jane, you must pack your bags. Get the children ready. We have to leave the country tonight.
What's wrong?
The plan has failed, and the Prime Minister's daughters and Mr. Wells have escaped. They're hiding out in the forest near Blanchichou's Bay. The army is all over the area and will surely find them by morning. When they do, they will arrest me. I don't have to explain the consequences of that to you.
Oh no, Ray, what are we going to do?
Malcolm has arranged political asylum for us in Cuba, but we must leave before daybreak.
Oh, Ray, I don't want to live in Cuba. This is terrible.
Don't argue, Jane. We have no choice. Do what I say, and someone will pick you up at 3, okay?
Damn it, Ray.
I'm sorry I'd go without you, but I'm sure you'd be arrested too. You have no choice. We have to leave the country.
All right, we'll be ready.
Jane and Cetewayo hung up the phone at the same time. Cetewayo quickly went about her business. Soon Jane came into the kitchen and sat down.
So, was that Ray?
Cetewayo asked.
Yes. Is everything all right? Of course. He's just not coming home tonight. He's got to go out of town on some business. He wants me and the kids to meet him in San Fernando early tomorrow morning. We'll have to leave early to get there in time. We'll try not to wake you when we leave. Can I help you pack? Sure, I could use some help.
Later, when Jane had left to run an errand, Cetewayo picked up the phone and dialed a number.
Hello?
Obatala, you must come home now. I've got some news, but I can't discuss it over the phone. Come quick while Jane is out.
What kind of news?
I don't have time to explain. Just come home.
All right, I'm on my way.